And while you're opening up your Bibles to the 14th chapter of John, had an interesting, revelation, I suppose, this week. I was at Walmart, just walked into I no sooner walked into Walmart and I realized I didn't have my phone with me. And I had a weird feeling inside, like something was missing. Like something in my life, something could happen and I wouldn't know about it. I had an odd sense that there was something was missing in my life. And I thought, well, I'm not going all the way back to get my phone. And so I was going to get what I came for, which was thankfully only two items. And I noticed that I was walking through the store faster than normal. And so I just grabbed things and I put them in and I was going to leave. I saw someone I knew, like a real person. I went down a different aisle because I felt like I was in a little hurry to get back to, of all things, my phone. And I was in the checkout line or the checkout area, and there was someone talking to me. Yeah. And I felt like I had some inner sense. I had to get home to my phone. And I didn't want to feel that way, but I felt that way. And I'm walking out of Walmart thinking, is this what life has become? And in many cases, yes. And I dare you to walk out of the house to Walmart without your phone, and you'll have a feeling deep inside. We're going to talk about life as God wanted it to be. And so let's take a look at John chapter 14 and read the first six verses. It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way where I am going." This brought about a great question, one of many questions in this section. For Thomas said, "But Lord, we don't know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Softball. Jesus hits it out of the park. He says, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. I am the way, the truth, and the life." Today we're following our series on I Am, the Jesus in his own words, 6 out of 7 I Am statements of Jesus. And this particular one is one of those Bible verses which is so well memorized and is one of those that causes the most trouble for us in life. It really does, because it's a definitive statement. I am the way. Well, isn't there another way? It's a passage, a part of a larger passage of I am statements that have to do a lot with the trouble, the difficulty and the trouble in life. And we do have trouble, don't we? I mean, if we thought that 2020 was the year of trouble and 2021 would be the year we would, all my troubles seem so far away, but they seem to have come to stay, haven't they? And have you noticed how much music revolves around the trouble in our lives? I mean, throughout history, they wrote song after song. Elvis wrote 2 songs. If you're looking for trouble, you've come to the right place. I never heard it. But I have heard Music Man, right? Music Man, the famous song about trouble. And we've got trouble, right? It starts with T and it rhymes with P, and that stands for a pool. And then there's Simon and Garfunkel. That would be what? Yeah, like a bridge over troubled water. And even modern day, like Coldplay and Pink and Taylor Swift, they're all talking about trouble. They sing about trouble, trouble, trouble. Because we have trouble around us, and we have trouble inside of us. And this scripture passage talks about the trouble that we have and the life that we can have. So this actual passage, these 6 verses, are part of, would you believe it if I told you, that this is a part of six chapters that were all six chapters in one night of the life of Jesus. Six chapters, for chapter 13 to 18, all have to do with one night. In fact, add the next morning and you've got a third of the Gospel of John has to do with one 24-hour period. And so if you look in that, it starts with chapter 13. In fact, we'll read some scripture to lead up to that. Chapter 13, it starts with the Last Supper. And the Last Supper, then it goes to Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed three times, and he prayed so deeply that he bled, and he was betrayed by his close friend. He was arrested. He was led away to be beaten and falsely accused and eventually to die. And in the middle of that, there's John 14:6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Really, to set the stage, we should go back all the way to John chapter 1. I was fascinated as I was reading the Gospel of John over again for this, how chapter 13, 14, 15, they all have to do with what John started with. So if you remember back in John chapter 1, it starts out by saying that Jesus was always with God, with the Father. Verse 4 and 5 says, it says, in him was life, the word life there. And the life was the light of men, and light shines in darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it, or they didn't understand him. And verse 11 and 12, he came to his own, and those who were his own didn't receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, having a heavenly Father, even those who believe in his name. Verse 14, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, that of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then verse 18, no one has seen God at any time, only the begotten Son, or begotten God, who was in the bosom or near the heart of the Father, and he has explained him. Well, Jesus has always been with the Father, knows the Father, and came from the Father to come and explain. And he explained the Father for 3 years. At the end of that 3 years, we're now at John chapter 13. John chapter 13 and verse 1 says, now before the feast of Passover, Jesus, knowing that the hour had come that he would depart out of this world to the Father. So he came from the Father, now he's going back to the Father in a span of a handful of chapters. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. Verse 3 says, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and they had come forth from God, was going back to God. And then Jesus really started stirring up the trouble among the disciples when he picked up a towel and a basin of water and began to wash the disciples' feet. He got all of the way to Peter, who must have been white-knuckled and agitated because he's the first one to pop off in all the questions that we see in this passage. He came to Peter, it says, and he says, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus said, what I do you do not realize now, but you will hereafter. Peter said, never will you wash my feet. Talk about trouble. And then it says, after he did that, Jesus himself became troubled. It does. It says in verse 30 and 21, he said, truly I say to you, one of you will betray me. Well, that got the questions really flying. Because all of the disciples, if you look at the other Gospels, it says they were all looking at each other, who's going to do it? Who's going to, is it me? They wondered who's going to betray? They looked at each other and said, one of us? Could it be me? So they looked at John, and Peter said to John, hey, ask him who it is. So verse 30, 25, John asked the question, all of them were asking, Lord, who is it? Well, as you know, Judas then was the one. So he left right then and there, headed off to the soldiers to prepare for the arrest of Jesus. And Simon Peter says to Jesus, because he begins telling them as if he didn't have enough trouble, as if they were not bothered enough, as if things were not stirred up enough, Jesus then said, by the way, I'm leaving and you won't see me again. So Peter, Verse 36, 37 says, Lord, where are you going? And Lord, why can I not follow you right now? And Jesus' reply did nothing to comfort the boys, didn't do anything to make them feel any better. In fact, worse, because he looked at Peter and said, this night you will betray me three times. So there is a lot of trouble to go around. And here is Jesus in the midst of this. I don't know if you have any trouble or if you ever had any trouble, but here is Jesus in the midst of it. Says, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe. I am the way, the truth, and life. So Thomas said, we don't even know the way. We got no idea. Clueless God, here we are. Come on, help us out a little bit. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. Well, I'm not even sure where I am here. Oh, the next verse. There it is. Okay, I got trouble. So we have trouble. For all of our trouble, for all of our questions, Jesus has this one classic answer. I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. You might have Elvis trouble. You might have Coldplay trouble. You might have trouble in River City, Iowa. It might be trouble in Wood City, Minnesota. But here we have the answer to all of our troubles. Jesus is the way. For all of our questions, like, can really God really wash away all my sins? And where is God during all of this mess? Why do I find it so hard to follow Jesus? And how come I can't pray? And how come I can't reach God? And what is the right way anyway? And is there really only one way? And what about good people? What about them? Is there another way for them? And all of the other religions? And will I see my dog in heaven? I've been asked that many times. Will my dog be in heaven? I now know the definitive answer to that question. I got your attention, don't I? I now know. This is the answer. Will I see my dog in heaven? Well, this is what I know. If your dog has accepted Jesus Christ as his Savior, as the only way, truth, and life to the Father, you will see your dog in heaven. So go home and lead Fido in the sinner's prayer. See? Now you know why you came to church today. Jesus is the way. He is the way. Note that Jesus did not say, oh, I know the way. Or, well, there is a way. He said, I am the way. And Jesus didn't take all of our questions and all of our troubles and give us some sort of plan of action. He didn't give us a set of instructions. He didn't give us a recipe for knowing God or the ABCs of getting to the Father. He said, I am the way. He didn't give us directions as if we needed a road map to heaven. He said, I am the roadmap to heaven. If, for example, if heaven was a Dairy Queen, you could ask for directions to the Dairy Queen. He is not the directions to the Dairy Queen. He's the bus to Dairy Queen. And if you get on the bus, you will get to Dairy Queen. Does that make any sense? If you are in Christ, you're on the way to the Father. And the way is so much more than simply the way to the Father, because being in the way of Jesus, it makes everything begins to make sense. So there is Jesus could have given us a teaching on justice, but instead of giving us a teaching on justice, he is the justice that we need in America. We could come up from the Bible and find out rules and regulations on racism and poverty and all of the things that are wrong with our country, but Jesus is the way of justice. He is the way of provision. He is the way of unity in our country. He is our peace. He is the one who provides everything we need. We really need to look less at the methods of finding a solution and look more to the Jesus who is the way of the solution to all of our needs. In other words, less Less methods and more relationship with Jesus, because he is the way that we need out of every problem that we have. Every trouble is in the way of Jesus. And you know what? It's been long known that marriage problems come down to this one thing. At least one person has a Jesus problem. Because if people are in the way of Jesus, they have a way of resolving their marriage problems. So it's a relationship problems are generally a problem with being in the way of Jesus. Is it really Jesus the only way? Well, yes, he's the only way. But he is a way, and he is the way, and he is available. So this isn't something where he's saying, I am the only way, and he's saying, but you'll never find it. It's the only way, but good luck. He is the way, and he is here, and he is present, and his arms are open wide, saying, come to me, all ye who are heavy laden. If you've got troubles, I am the way. Is it a narrow way? Yes, but it's a narrow way that actually leads somewhere we want to be. I mean, you can be on a wide way. There are other ways. There are wide ways. There are relevant ways, modern ways, socially acceptable ways. There are easier ways. There are funner ways. There are ways that follow the science, but they all lead to the same place. You see, here's the deal. You can take two roads to get to church here. You could go on 14th Street, and you can go on Washington Avenue. Both roads get to this church. You can come from the north, you can come from the south, you can come from the east, and you can come from the west. And every one of those roads will get to this church. But if you want to go to my house, there is only one road that gets to my house. There are a lot of roads in Esco, but I live on a dead end. And if you don't get on that road, you will not get to my house. I'm not telling you where it is. There is only, I say Minnesota nice is defined like this. They'll tell you anything except their address. Think about it for a while. There is only one way to the Father, and the one way is Jesus Christ. Well, Jesus Christ is also the truth. There are many things that are true in life. There are many facts that are observable, but the source of all truth, the source of all truth, the originating place of all truth is Jesus. If you go all the way back to John chapter 1, you see in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, the Word was God. The Word then became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld him. What is he? Full of grace and truth. He is the plain truth, the hidden truth. He is the simple truth. And any variation from the truth is the not the truth. Don't think of Jesus as simply a repository of all the facts that there are. Don't think of Jesus as an encyclopedia in the sky. Don't think of Jesus as just better than Google or more information than the information highway. He is the embodiment of all that matters, of all that is true. And wisdom that we long for and desire begins, the Bible says, with the fear of God, not with a degree from Harvard. Take a look at the life of Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verse 32 says, there too the people were amazed at his teaching, for he spoke with authority. Even when Jesus was a boy, 12 years old, in the midst of a whole bunch of the most learned people around, Pharisees and such, it says, Luke 2, 47, all who heard him were astonished at his understanding and his answers. John 7, 15, the Jews were amazed and they asked, how did this man attain such learning without having studied? John 1, 18, no one has seen God at any time. The only begotten God who is in the bosom of the Father, he has explained him. So if we want to know anything about God, we go to the truth. Jesus is the truth, and you can have this truth when you are in Christ. We can have the truth of God. And this is the most fascinating thing, because Jesus hung around with a bunch of people, none of whom were educated, none of whom went to catechism class, none of them went to Sunday school. They didn't go to Bible college. They were nothing. They didn't know anything, but they began to know Jesus. And just a short time with Jesus and having Jesus inside of them, being in the way and in the truth, look what the smart one said about the disciples just days after Jesus died and resurrected, Acts 4:13. As they observed the confidence of Peter and John, just fishermen, they understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, and they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Goodness gracious, get a good education, but the truth will come from having Christ within you. So we have understanding, we have answers, we have wisdom, not when we have the science and the facts, but when we know the person of Jesus Christ. So Jesus is the way and the truth, and he is the life. Now, as Pastor Hollis has pointed out several times, when Jesus says he is the life, he uses the word zoe, which means vitality or full of life or energy, fullness of life. And it's more than what science can observe. Science can observe if we're alive, okay? Can observe if we have a heartbeat, if we breathe, if we consume. We have a heartbeat. We have brain waves. I know, mine's waving goodbye every day, it seems. If we move about, we're alive. If we shop at Amazon, we are alive. We have friends on Facebook and people like our posts. We're alive. But that's not the life that Jesus is talking about any more than donuts are big vitamins. That's not the reality, and that's not what Jesus is talking about in life. In fact, science is rather confused about this thing we call life. Science can't figure out when a baby is a baby. Can't figure out when a baby is a person. Is it when they have a heartbeat? Is it when they achieve viability? When is that? Is it when a child has the ability of self-determination? Science cannot measure the life that Jesus gives and the life that Jesus is. It cannot examine the soul. Jesus is life. And to be in Christ is to have the real life that Jesus intended us to be, to know the way, the truth, and the life. Jesus said, John 10:10, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy. He comes in all sorts of shapes and sizes. You think of a thief as having a mask on. Look at all you people. You think of a thief as wearing dark clothes, creeping around at night, trying to get into your house. But the thief comes in all sorts of ways, comes in athletic shapes, comes in beauty shapes, comes in all sorts of ways, shapes, and forms, and his only desire is to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that they might have life and have it abundantly, have more than you can imagine, more than you can calculate, more than you can put your stamp on. The New Living Translation says, my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Whatever it is we have here without Jesus, it is not the life that he intended. But with Jesus, we have more than the world can ever offer. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. I know there's big questions like, isn't saying Jesus is the only way kind of exclusive? Yes, but that's the nature of things that are true. Everything that disagrees with what is true is not true. And just to confirm what we're saying, this isn't just an isolated thing. Throughout the scriptures, it tells us Jesus is the only way. Acts chapter 4, verse 12 says Jesus is the one referred to in the scriptures, where it says the stone that you builders rejected has now become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else. God has given no other name under heaven by which we must be saved. End of story. Yes, it's exclusive, but it's true. Well, what about those people who have never heard about Jesus? Good question. Understandable question. People who love have that question. People who are concerned have that question. Good people look to Jesus and say, how could you? What's the answer? I can only say that I am, quite frankly, unqualified to tell you who gets into heaven and who doesn't. But God is qualified to tell. God is qualified to give that answer. And what I know about God is that he wants all people to come to repentance. What I know about God is he wants everyone to come to faith. What I know about God is that he came all this way to save us. He came all this way and gave his life to die for us. And he's not about to ignore the people who are around us. It's what I know about God. But really, we're best to trust God with that incredible problem, because God can handle it, but I can't. So if you're worried about the answer, if you're worried about saying, oh, boy, I would say that kind of makes me look like a bad person, blame God. He can handle it. He can take care of it. In fact, God doesn't need you in order to save the people who have never heard from him. God doesn't need us to qualify his statements. He doesn't need us to kind of say, well, it's kind of like this, that, and the other thing, because God, without any of our help, without any Christian radio or TV, without any preachers or evangelists, he can reveal himself to people who are wanting to hear from him. Just think about all of the ways in the Bible that Jesus, all by himself, help people who are far from him come near and find him. Have you ever thought of this? I mean, way back when, there was a donkey who spoke to a rebellious man. A donkey spoke for God and he encountered God. Back in the old days, there was a burning bush and an 80-year-old man who knew nothing about God finally met the God of heaven and led the whole nation of Israel on a fantastic journey because he knew God. Throughout history, there have been things like an angel who came and wrestled with a man named Jacob, who was a lying, deceiving kind of person, far from God, and all of a sudden, he's wrestling with God himself. Do you think that God can handle this question? What about those people who have never heard the name Jesus? He can show up like a big fish and swallow a person up, just so that a rebellious person finds out about who God is. I mean, he can do this thing. One time he came as a baby in a manger, and all of a sudden people said, wow, God is among us. They began to know who God showed. God put this big giant star in the east, and these wise people from far away said, I gotta follow that thing. And they followed that thing, and lo and behold, they found Jesus. One guy who was one of the meanest, awfulest dudes you ever met was walking on a road to Damascus, and a loud voice came out of heaven, and Paul, who was blinded on the spot, and Paul encountered God. He didn't want to hear from Jesus, didn't want to know Jesus, but Jesus wanted to know him. Jesus can handle himself. So the scriptures tell us that the heavens declare the glory of God. It's speaks to us, and as long as there is a sunrise and a sunset, God will be speaking to people, and anyone who's looking, saying, God, I have to know you, they will find him. A friend of mine named Dennis Hodulik is a pastor out in Long Island, and Dennis was a mean gangbanger, drug-dealing felon, spent time in prison, out of prison, and he was mean. The only friends he had were the ones that he had before, and he was as far from God as you can imagine. He came to Jesus by looking. He took up photography, and he was looking at a close-up picture of a flower. And he met Jesus. And it's actually Dr. Dennis Hodulik. He has ministry degrees, and he spent his life preaching the good news. Are you really that worried about being exclusive? God can handle the question of what about the people who have never heard of the name of Jesus? Well, there you have it. I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is not a bridge over troubled water. He is the way that we need for all of our issues, our struggles, our questions, the things that bother us. If you have troubles, God knows that. If you have questions, God knows that. And as many as received him, he gave the right to become children of God. Having Jesus in you gives you the pathway of resolution for the troubles and the questions in your life and the troubles and the questions that the world around has us. I'd like the worship team to come back and join me up front, because what the world around us really needs is Jesus. And to receive Jesus in your life makes you an instrument of peace. To have Jesus in your life makes you in the way of justice. To have Jesus in your marriage makes you forgive. To have Jesus in your business makes you honest. If you're not, do you really have Jesus? And that's a good question for today. Communion helps us understand the true nature of Jesus as the way, the truth, and the life. So let's close our service with communion. If you don't have a communion cup, there is one right back there. And if you open the top, you'll find that wafer right there. And let's go right back to where we started. Jesus, the night in which he was betrayed, he took bread and he broke it. And he said, "This is my body, and it's broken for you." He gave thanks to God. Let's take a couple of minutes just to be thankful to God. And some of you have trouble in this room. Can we just spend a moment of silence? And will you say, "God, I've got trouble, and I really need to be in the way." Some of you have questions. Does it mean your trouble's going to go away? No. But you're going to be able to handle that trouble better. And you've got questions. Some of you got marriages. Will you receive Jesus into your life and be in the way? Take a moment, and then we'll give thanks. Thank you, Lord. God, oh, we have trouble. And oh, we have questions. But God, you are the way, and you are the truth, and you are the life. We're grateful, God, that your body was broken for us, that we would receive the forgiveness that we have needed to be separated from our past, so that we can be on the way to your Father. And we are thankful, we are grateful, and we accept. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Let's take together. Scripture tells us that after supper, Jesus took the cup. It looks a little different than this one. But he said, "This is the new covenant in my blood." And he said, "As often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he come. You proclaim the way, the truth, and life. You shout it out loud. You declare it. You make a proclamation. This is my life now. I am in the way. I am in the truth. I am in the life." Let's take together. Thank you, God, for loving us so much that you would give your life for our sake. And we know that we can have confidence in you, that if you would do all that it took to get us to faith, you would do all that it takes to get others to faith. So help us to be, God, the kind of people that describe you well, that show you well, that when we say things, we say the things that are true and honorable, that draw people to you. Our lives to make the kind of difference that you were looking for when you said that we would have life abundant. And God, help us to really live out, to believe that you are the way, the truth, and the life through all of our struggles and all of our questions. Thank you so much. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you, and go change your world.